Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned today. Two important subjects that actually have a lot to do with each other. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Gary Patti about chronic disease, but more importantly, a specific type of chronic disease that seems to be very, very prevalent in our type 2 diabetic population today, neuropathy. They have made some amazing discoveries that could change the way this type of pain management is handled forever. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to Gloria Loring, those of you who remember her from the 70s and 80s, for her record albums as well as performances on The Carol Burnett Show and so on. She has taken on a new crusade, and she is speaking out against diabetes in this nation and what people can do about type 2 diabetes. So both of these shows today have some synchronicity with each other. So we'll get started right away. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gary Patti. Dr. Gary Patti is from Washington University in St. Louis. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great.
First of all, this specific type of pain management we're talking about is very, very important because there seems to be a prevalence in our society today for the development of this type of pain. My dad suffered from this in the later years of his life due to complications of diabetes. Most people know of it as neuropathy or neuropathic pain, correct?
That's correct, yes. It's a specific form of chronic pain. And as you say, chronic pain, it's widely affects a large population of people. It's about 3 people out of 10 in the United States of adults.
And I have to believe by the year 2030, it's going to be even more because it is estimated by the CDC by the year 2030 that 50% of our population will be diabetic. And you can interpret that as at least pre-diabetic, if not a full-blown insulin resistance. And once you develop insulin resistance, that is when this neuropathy seems to start to invade. So let's talk about neuropathy first in and of itself. It was originally thought that neuropathy was, in the simplest terms, a mechanical complication of the wearing of the myelin sheath around the nerve, correct?
That's right. So neuropathy is a specific form of a condition that can lead to neuropathic pain, and that's what you're describing.
But originally it was simply thought that kind of like the way a wire in your car would have the dielectric shield wear off and start touching things around it and shorting out. It was thought that that was what caused the pain, but your discovery shows that that's not it at all, right?
Well, it's interesting, Carl. So actually, what we're learning is not only so these nerves that we're looking at are interesting nerves. The technical term is they're pseudo-unipolar neurons. And what you're describing is in neuropathy, when we talk about diabetic neuropathy, what we're talking about are these nerves in the peripheral nerve system, in the peripheral nervous system. So nerves in our legs or in the periphery. But these nerves actually run up and synapse in the spinal cord. So the mechanism that you're describing where the myelin sheath is affected by these neuropathic types this neuropathic condition, it actually comes into play in the spinal cord as well. And so I think one of the things that we're learning is that with peripheral neuropathy or neuropathic pain in general, that it turns out that mechanism of the disruption of the myelin sheath is proving to be extremely important in terms of the disease state in the central nervous system, in the spinal cord. Although what you're saying is also correct, that it's happening in the periphery as well. And so, you know, the real question then becomes is why is it so different? In the, you know, we have the same nerve, It's in the central nervous system. It's, you know, it's synapsing in the spinal cord, and it's also in our periphery, in our legs, and our feet. So why is it so different? And it turns out that it's different because there's a blood spinal cord barrier, which prevents clearing some of these byproducts. It makes it much more challenging in the central nervous system.
Okay, and also it should be understood that this type of pain is not managed by the traditional modalities of treating pain with different types of drugs that sort of numb the body. People with neuropathic pain are plagued with this pain. My poor dad used to wear gloves mm-hmm. because he felt that the tight gloves gave him some sense of relief. And I even built for him. There's a company on the West Coast called Anodyne that produces a 890 nanometer LED FDA approved for treating neuropathy device, because 890 nanometers seems to liberate nitric oxide from the hemoglobin, and it seems that when you stimulate nitric oxide, the you can manage this pain better, and even in some cases help to reverse some of the damage. So I actually built him one of these, and that was the only way he could get relief in his feet. This type of pain is not managed by taking NSAIDs or any type of over-the-counter drugs that are used for, like, let's say I fall off a ladder and I have pain, correct?
That's right. So actually, and you've touched on a couple of really important points there, and I'll just follow up on both of them.
Please.
One is that the chemical, what's actually happening at the biochemical level in neuropathic pain is very poorly understood. So, you know, you're mentioning a lot of different chemical entities that have been implicated in the condition with NO and some of these other different compounds that seem to be differentially expressed and released during the condition. But exactly what their role is and how they are mediating the condition is very poorly understood. And it's because of that that a lot of the treatments that are available haven't been able to be improved. The treatments that are available provide very, very rarely ever provide complete therapeutic relief. They're not over-the-counter drugs. They're usually drugs that people don't want to be on. You know,
yeah, because they knock you out. You not only don't feel pain, but you don't feel life.
That's right. We're very attuned to this. You know, with things like Michael Jackson. You know, these different types of people that have suffered from addiction and having problems. Largely, a lot of these problems are initiated because they start taking these drugs.
Pain management
for pain management. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. So this type of pain is different, and it doesn't go away, and it gets worse and worse as time goes on, especially in the disease state. If diabetes, even in my experience, now you can correct me. I don't know if you can answer this question, but even when diabetes is managed with glucose disposal agents and insulin sensitizing agents like metformin and glucophage and even insulin, mm-hmm. this condition continues to worsen. As long as the insulin resistance and the periods of hypoglycemia continue on.
Mm-hmm. Well, just let me clarify a couple different
yes,
terms
please.
Here. But there's chronic pain, which is pain that persists for a long period of time. So this is pain that can last for months, years. It can, you know, there can be a specific episode that initiates it, and then this chronic pain persists thereon. So it's pain that persists even though there's no clear evidence of injury at any particular site.
Right.
And there are several different types of chronic pain, and the chronic pain that we're talking about is a specific form of chronic pain, which is called neuropathic pain. What happens in neuropathic pain is when your nervous system suffers some sort of injury. Now that could be from, as you're discussing, from diabetes, you know, some sort of diabetic neuropathy.
Right.
That can be damage, obviously, to the nervous system. But it could also be things like car accidents, you know, other types of there are all different types of conditions that can initiate trauma and therefore cause dysfunction of the nervous system.
Ah.
And it's a very interesting condition in terms of how it progresses and how it gets better and worse. We really don't understand. And what's really sort of interesting about it, if we look historically at what chronic pain is, and this, specifically this type of neuropathic pain, and we can even later talk about how we study it from a scientific perspective and using animal models and so on.
Right.
But what's really interesting about it, and what's characteristic, is that the person suffers an injury, and initially you might see some evidence of that injury, but that injury heals. And all of the effects and the conditions that are associated with the injury resolve. And so a long time ago, when patients would come in with this condition, and clinicians would look at the patients and they would say, you know, I don't see any evidence that you should be in pain.
Right.
You know, everything looks totally normal.
Right.
And so there's, you know, some people have this, and this, it's again from the historical perspective, people have sort of a, they've attached a psychosis almost to it in some conditions.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And I have to tell you that one of my frustrations right now is that the pharmaceutical companies are now marketing antidepressants to people with chronic pain because so many people go, oh, you know, this is in your head because there's no evidence that you have any pain.
That's right. So one of the things that we were actually interested in doing, and a lot of pharmaceutical companies are very interested in doing, is quantifying pain. So everyone is probably very familiar with when you have pain and you go to see a clinician and they ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how bad is your pain? And that's a very, as you can imagine, it's
subjective.
A very subjective,
yeah.
Mechanism to measure
because
pain.
Because 6 to me, maybe 10 to you.
That's exactly right. So, you know, one of the things that we're interested in the pain community is trying to establish a more objective system that we can use for, you know, providing medications and different sorts, you know, different ways of quantifying it.
Right. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to delve into the research and your discovery with your colleagues, okay?
Great. Sounds great.
We're talking today with Dr. Gary Patti. He's with the Washington University in St. Louis. We're talking about chronic pain, specifically neuropathic pain. Any of you who know about this or have a family member who is suffering with this is going to be a very, very important discussion, so stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Peace up. A-Town down. Yeah,
yeah. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that Southern Research Companies offers Superhuman Radio listeners an additional 15% off their already low, low prices when you use the coupon code Superhuman15. Go to Southern Research Companies by clicking the banner ad on the Superhuman Radio website. We're talking this hour with Dr. Gary Patti about chronic neuropathic pain. A lot of people suffer from this, and it will really ruin your life. If you have ever suffered from this, or you are starting to develop it, or you know someone who's already developed it, you know that life becomes really miserable once this condition starts to set in. Okay, so your group started looking at the way pain occurred and the metabolites that occur. The interesting science that you folks are using over there called
metabolomics. Uh-huh.
Metabolomics. Yep. I'm sorry about that. Okay,
yep.
There you go. Anyway, come up with an easier name for me, doctor.
you can just say metabolite profiling.
Okay, and so what you do is you look at these different conditions, and then you look at a control, and you look at the different metabolites that occur in the tissue, right?
That's right. So it's a new – it's, you know, people are probably familiar with – genomics and proteomics,
right?
And it's a similar type of technology. The approach is very comparable. Only instead of screening for genes and proteins that are involved with disease, we screen for metabolites. It's the newest of the omic sciences,
right?
So a lot of the different techniques and tools that are needed are just now emerging, and this is still sort of in its infancy. But you're absolutely right. What we do is the idea is to take, for example, in this case, individuals or animals that are healthy, and to compare that sample group to individuals or animals that are suffering from pain. And the idea then is to try and find things that are different. And by identifying things that are different, it can provide some level of insight into what's happening on the pathological level.
And when you looked at these, and you basically took some rodents, right? Were they rats or mice? I forget.
Rats.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you give them what is it? STZ, strepto.
Yep. So that's one way that you can do it. Before I launch into the model, let me just say one more thing about
yes, please.
About metabolomics or metabolite profiling. Because some people.
Hey, wait. First, you have to say metabolomics three more times fast.
Go ahead. I say quite a bit, so it won't be a problem for me. I should make you do it.
Okay.
because some people may be wondering, you know, why are we using metabolomics when we could be using genomics or proteomics? And the reason that we're so drawn to metabolomics is because metabolites are literally the chemical entities in our bodies that are being transformed in metabolism. So unlike genes and proteins, which are upstream, certainly genes and proteins drive these reactions, but they're not actually the chemical entities that are being transformed. So by looking at metabolites, we're literally looking at the biochemistry. We're looking at the biochemical substrates and products that are being transformed.
Right.
And the advantage is that it turns out that there's a lot of regulation in our bodies. So, there's a lot of enthusiasm for looking at genes and proteins,
And I want to delve into this even a little bit deeper for a second because there's a wonderful physician in the UK that I'm trying to get on the show, who was one of the first people to point at this metabolomics in the late onset autism spectrum disorder,
right?
And metabolomics actually is unique. Depending, it can change with one person to another because of the digestive process, because of the flora in the digestive tract. Some of us, when we don't digest the things we eat, we produce metabolites that are toxic that then circulate throughout our body. So this is actually, in my humble opinion, a very, very exciting frontier right now. That is really kind of looked at with less of the gravity as genomics, for instance, which is so sophisticated because it's all about the gene. But nonetheless, as important, and I predict in the years to come even more important when they start to look at the metabolomic effects on other neurological disorders that seem to happen in some people but not others, even though both have the genetic markers to develop the disease.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And actually, I think what we're finding is that our whole understanding and vision of metabolism and fundamental biochemistry is changing.
Yes.
As a result of metabolomics. So we now have, when we're talking about metabolomics, we're talking about using these tools that allow us to look at extremely large numbers of metabolites. So if we take, and I don't know if people realize, if we take just a small amount of, say, blood from either one of us, and we were to look at the number of things, the number of peaks that we could observe using our instrumentation, we see thousands and thousands of peaks. And it turns out that a lot of those peaks we can't account for with traditional and canonical metabolites and biochemistry textbooks. And so our whole vision of what biochemistry is and what metabolism is and how all of this relates to disease is in total flux right now, largely because of some of the observations that you're stating and some of the observations we've made in the metabolomic community as a whole. So I think it's a really exciting time. We like to sort of draw an analogy between this and physics. If you think about the evolution of physics, decades ago, physics was something that people thought had largely been figured out with Newtonian laws. So we understood how an apple fell from a tree. We could write out all the equations and everything in the real world we could explain. And there was a real sense that there wasn't much energy to go into physics because everything could be explained by Newton's laws.
Right.
And then there was a series of new instrumentation and new experiments that were developed and pioneered by people like Einstein that started to show that on small levels, those Newtonian laws didn't hold. That there were all these experiments or exceptions that seemed to be, provide exceptions to these rules. And it launched a whole new field that we know as quantum physics or quantum mechanics.
Right.
And I think that's kind of where we are in metabolism. We have this classical understanding of metabolism that we've developed by using classical tools and looking at these highly concentrated compounds, and it maps out all the major highways. And people really haven't thought about metabolism for a long time, for many decades, since the discovery of some of these major pathways in the 50s.
The reality is that the medical orthodoxy does not look at metabolism as a path into the etiology of disease or cure of these diseases. Because, I mean, look, Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be food. And he must have had such amazing insight, this man, because we've come all the way through the traditional allopathic model where most physicians get virtually no education in nutrition, because nutrition is seen as this thing that really has no impact on the greater work that we have to do. In my prediction, scientists like yourself and this physician in the UK, as this becomes more and more prevalent, looking at what's happening on the metabolite side, we're now going to have to start looking at what people are putting in their bodies in the first place, because we have to see both ends of this in order to understand why some people do one thing with something and some people do another. So I really feel that what you're doing is not only going to aid in intrinsically in the diseases that you're working on, but extrinsically it's going to force medical orthodoxy to finally go, you know what? Maybe we do have to start paying attention to nutrition so we can at least understand why some of these metabolites are showing up.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And what we're finding is that a lot of these metabolites that we don't know what they are, that we're detecting in human samples and no one's ever tried to characterize them before, what we're finding is not only are they there, but they're changing. They're changing from one individual to the next. And so you're absolutely right. Trying to figure out why they're changing and what changes are specifically associated with what conditions, with what sort of metabolic statuses, whether they're good or bad, I think are going to be absolutely pivotal as the field unfolds.
Yes, okay. We could talk more about this, the whole thing, but let's get into your research because it's important.
Sure.
So you used, I think it's called streptozotocin.
Actually, what we use is that is what you're citing is a well-known model, but we actually used a different type of model. The model that we used is we would anesthetize the animals, and then we would perform a transection on one of their nerves. It's the tibial nerve,
okay.
Which is a branch of a nerve. People have probably heard of the sciatic nerve. So, you know, people talk about sciatica. I mean,
right.
That's one of the neuropathic type conditions that we talk about. So this is sort of an induced form of that kind of disease. So we open up the animals and we transect this nerve, this tibial nerve, and this causes them to experience pain immediately after the surgery, but the pain actually persists for a long time. So it fits into, remember, we talked about how, what the definition is of chronic pain, chronic neuropathic pain. And this model fits that in that the, after we perform this surgery on the animals and we transect this nerve, the injuries and the pain that the animals experience, persists much longer than, after the initial precipitating injuries that we induced. After they're resolved, the pain still persists.
Okay. So once they develop this pain, then you started looking at the peripheral tissue first, right?
That's correct.
But and you found, and what you found was the metabolites in the control and in the, let's say, injured group, there were no differences. But then when you started looking upstream into the spinal cord, that's when the discovery occurred, right?
That's right. So and let me just clarify that that when we did these analyses, we were way out after the surgery. So obviously, after you do a surgery and you injure this animal's nerve, you're going to get a series of responses. You're going to get inflammation. You're going to get an influx of the immune response. You know, there's going to be obviously some response to that nerve injury. But as we said, that doesn't characterize chronic pain. What characterizes chronic pain is after all that goes away. So all that's resolved.
Right.
After all that's resolved, the animal is still in pain. And so that's the part of the disease we were interested in. So we didn't do our experiments right after we induced the injury. We waited 3 weeks. So that all that could be resolved,
see,
and then we looked at
to
the
see what metabolites lingered, and what you discovered was dimethyl sphingosine. Is that how you pronounce it?
So that's right. And at the 3 week mark is when we did that comparison. What we found was in the periphery where the nerve was actually damaged, there was very few things changing. It wasn't this huge response that we expected. You know, you expect as horrific as the condition it was, and as we just talked about, there's sort of a precedent of a lot of metabolites changing, you know, and gut microflora and all these different conditions. We expected this huge change in the number of metabolites, but in fact, what we saw was in the periphery where the nerve was actually damaged. So at the site of the disease, you know, the origin of the disease, there were very, very few metabolic changes. So this was astounding to us, and so that's why we started looking at other tissues. So we started thinking, where else could things be happening? So we looked at the plasma, we started looking at different segments of the nerve that were damaged, and we continued to find very minimal changes until we worked all the way back up to the other side of the nerve that we damaged. And as I alluded to earlier, the other side of the nerve that we damaged is in the spinal cord. So it's in what's known as the dorsal horn of the spinal cord. So
right.
It's this region of the spinal cord, and that's where we really started to see some interesting things. So in the spinal cord, it turns out that almost 97% of the changes, the metabolic changes that occur after neuropathic pain onset are localized to the spinal cord.
Now, dimethyl sphingosine, or DMS as you call it, was
right.
What lingered in the spinal cord, right?
Right.
And you know, and it could very well be that this is in normal injury, not in chronic pain, but in normal injury, this could actually be a protective mechanism, kind of like a bookmark to let the body remember that this was injured one time, so go easier on it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to find out if DMS in a normal injury, like say a sports injury, eventually goes away at some point in time. We know in a lot of the top sports doctors today, that if you don't work the injured area, the athlete starts to compensate and use other muscles to compensate for
sure.
the injury. It would be interesting to find out if DMS stays forever or goes away, but that's a totally different model than neuropathy, obviously. Neuropathy doesn't necessarily go away. It's a damage in the collateral reporting system as opposed to the thing that it's reporting on, correct?
Well, yeah, that's right. And what we think, it's not so much, so we think that DMS initiates a cascade that's bad. And so, and actually what we're now working on is new therapeutics to go after this type of, you know, involving and exploring the exact mechanisms that you just sort of outlined. And that is what role, is it the presence of DMS and the persistence of DMS that's important, or does DMS initiate some sort of cascade, and then after that cascade is initiated, the DMS isn't important anymore? And we do, at the moment, we don't know the answer to that question. We're still doing some experiments to try and figure out the answer to that question.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. I have lots more questions. We're talking with Dr. Gary Patti from Washington University in St. Louis about neuropathic pain. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
No 2 amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no 2 amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these 2 ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Gary Patti from Washington University in St. Louis about chronic neuropathic pain, a very, very important subject because there's a lot of it going around and more going to be going around. For those of you who follow the Paula Deen diet, I can assure you that neuropathic pain is in your future at some point in time. Okay. Dimethyl sphingosine, sign, egg, whatever you want to call it, it actually has also been the reason I said maybe it's a bookmarker for pain. You know what I mean? Like something happened here. Let's mark it so the body kind of prepares for it. There is a feedback loop that protects the heart against ischemia. For those of us who are athletic types and we push ourselves really hard, there's a feedback loop that actually protects the heart from ischemia. And one of the metabolites responsible for protecting the heart is DMS, because it actually stops the production of I want to say sphingosine kinase, correct?
Succinate kinase.
Kinase. Okay. So in this instance here, DMS is actually important because sphingosine kinase is implicated in myocardial ischemia.
Well, so what we're talking about, so the heart is sort of a totally different entity, and I think one of the key pieces of the story here in the context of neuropathic pain is that what we found wasn't relevant to the periphery. That was is that there were very few changes to the periphery, and so I think the way to think of this is that we've got this nerve. And the nerve goes in your leg, and that nerve goes back up and synapses, or it ends, in the spinal cord. And what we're finding is that the damage to this nerve at the periphery, certainly that happens because of what we did to the animal.
Right.
But there's also some damage at the other end of the nerve, and that end of the nerve is trapped inside of the central nervous system. So the central nervous system, unlike the heart, there's an exquisite system that's used. There's barriers, the blood-brain barrier, for example, and the
right.
spinal cord blood barrier, for example. And there are these shields or these filters that prevent things that are in the blood from just passing inside and out. And so as a result of this, these barriers, anything you generate in the central nervous system it can have much more important effects, much more long-lasting effects than, say, generating that same metabolite in the periphery. And so what we're finding is that, and what we think, is because DMS is generated inside of the central nervous system, it doesn't have the effects that it might have, for example, on a heart or what it might be doing in other parts of the body. It's essentially trapped inside of the spinal cord.
I got you. Okay. So what else did your research show? Were you able to reproduce this? Didn't you inject some of the rats that did not have resectioning with the DMS and it produced a pain response?
That's right. So we found this compound. So we used this profiling technique, and we found, as we've stated, that there were these changes that were really localized in the central nervous system. And I really do want to emphasize how interesting that was. I mean, certainly we expected there to be some changes in the central nervous system because the nerve, to some extent, is there. But to have all of the changes in the central nervous system was really an important finding.
Right, right. It was almost exclusively there.
Almost 97%
right.
There. So we really honed in on the central nervous system. And that's sort of the first key point, that really the central nervous system is something that we feel is very important in mediating this condition.
Right.
And then specifically, we identified this compound, dimethyl sphingosine. And we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about how nerves are wrapped in this fatty substance called myelin. And what you said was absolutely correct, that this myelin prevents we can think of nerves as essentially like electrical wires. And this myelin is a fatty substance that's wrapped around the nerves, and that prevents, that allows them to transmit without interference with other nerves.
Right.
And what happens when a nerve, you know, nerves are it's very interesting how a nerve responds to damage. So if you damage a nerve, unlike a car, so if your car got a ding on its door, you might take your car to a repair shop and they would take the door off and put a new door on. They would sort of replace it piecemeal. But the way a nerve responds to damage is actually much different. It would be the equivalent of damaging your door and then remaking the whole car. So if a nerve is damaged, let's say that you initiate a damage on one piece of the nerve. Everywhere downstream of that nerve that's damaged gets degraded and rebuilt.
Wow.
So they completely rebuild everything. The machinery is completely rebuilt. And this leads to a lot of problems when we start talking about paralysis. So people are probably familiar, you know, sometimes you get injured and people are waiting to see if the patient is going to regain function, neurological function. And what we're actually waiting for is to see, you know, if the nerve is going to be able to repair itself and find its, you know, its target. The fact that these nerves get degraded is interesting. And so DMS, which is this compound that's, as you mentioned, dimethylated sphingosine, what we think it is that it's actually being generated from the byproduct of this fatty substance around the nerve. So the nerve gets damaged. The nerve is in the central nervous system. That nerve is wrapped in fat, and that nerve gets degraded as a result of the injury. And the byproduct, or one of the degradation products of that fat, is dimethyl sphingosine. And so that's what we think we've tapped onto, is that we're seeing, and while that degradation of the fat in the peripheral nervous system, as we talked about, in your hand, your feet, or your leg, it's not a problem there because you've got this rapid influx of, and this ability to clear things out. You know, there's a really well built-in clearance mechanism in the periphery, because you've got the blood passing in and out, of course. But as we said, in the central nervous system, in the spinal cord, we don't have this capacity.
Right.
And so the fact that we're degrading this and generating all this debris, this molecular debris in the spinal cord, and we can't wipe it away like we can as easily in the periphery nervous system, and we think it's that debris that's really modulating the condition, and specifically this compound dimethylsphingosine. And so what we did to test that hypothesis, because as we said, there's a lot of different things changing there, and we homed in on DMS, and to test this idea that there was this particular compound that was modulating the condition, we took this compound and we injected it into animals. So we didn't injure the animal or damage their nerves, but we took this compound and injected it in otherwise healthy animals. And what we saw is that in these animals, they developed neuropathic pain symptoms, just as in the animals that we had injured.
That's amazing.
And so it's important to really emphasize here that this molecule, this dimethylsphingosine, a couple of things about it, because the technique that we used is unique in being able to pull it out. But a couple things about it. One is that it's a molecule that previously had not been implicated in chronic pain. So I think you did a really nice job initially outlining some of the different therapeutic difficulties in chronic pain right now. And the reason that we think this is so important is because we found something that hadn't been previously explored. So this is going to open up an avenue for all different sorts of potential treatments, new targets, new pathways. Obviously, the idea being trying to try and mitigate or to try to get rid of the concentration of this DMS that's in the spinal cord.
Right.
And then the second interesting aspect to this is that this was a compound previously that had not been well known, well characterized in the central nervous system. So we actually, at the moment, we don't yet know specifically how this thing is produced. That is, what if any genes are responsible, what proteins are responsible for making this compound. We don't yet know. And obviously, as we start to learn about the pathway and the mechanism that's involved with generating this compound, this will be very insightful as we develop and think about new therapeutics. And that's where our research is now. And that's currently what
we have to take a last commercial break of this particular interview. But I want, when we come back, I want to stay with this idea of therapeutics and where this is coming from, because there is some evidence that certain neurosteroids, like androgens, testosterone, DHEA, and DHT, actually play a role in mitigating the development of neuropathy. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up with Dr. Gary Patti. We're talking about chronic pain, specifically neuropathic pain. Very, very important interview, because I'm telling you, you could probably open your door and scream at someone that has neuropathic pain right now, and maybe someone in your family. And this is an amazing breakthrough, because there may be some hope in sight for managing their pain very shortly, as opposed to putting them on antidepressants. We'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 go-to guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
A little bit later in the show, Gloria Loring will be talking about living with diabetes. Right now we're talking with Dr. Gary Patti about neuropathic pain. His group has discovered the mechanism of its occurrence, which means that perhaps in a short period of time we will have some methods of treating this type of pain. Dr. Patti, there seems to be some good studies out there that implicate modulation of the development of neuropathic pain and neurosteroids like DHEA, testosterone, and DHT. Have you looked at any of those at all?
Yeah, so really I think, you know, again, getting back to understanding, you're right, people have found different compounds and drugs that have modulated the condition, but I think one of the major limiting factors as we start to think about these things is the fact that the mechanism and what's actually happening on the biochemical level is such poorly understood.
Yeah.
That it's been very difficult to take this information. It's almost been more of an empirical. These are more, I would just classify them as being more empirical type findings. And that we've phenomenologically found these sorts of treatments, or these different things that can change the condition, but actually why or how it's happening, has been a large mystery. Which is, as you just pointed out, one of the reasons why we're so excited about what it is that we've discovered here. But in terms of the therapeutics, it might be worth just spending a couple seconds talking about therapeutics, because I think here what we've tapped into, I think, is a new type of mechanism. But I think that the technology is a whole, and that is screening metabolites, is really a new dimension to look for therapeutics. This type of research is what we're calling therapeutic metabolomics.
Right.
And that is that we do this type of profiling, and we let the biological system or the condition or the disease or whatever it is that we're looking at tell us what is going on. So that is that we don't go in with any type of hypothesis. And it's sort of a new way of thinking about science.
Well, you know what? I was just going to say, one of the flaws in most peer-reviewed studies is that the endpoints are established ahead of time. It's almost like saying, I want to go out for a walk, and just going out for a walk and then stumbling onto something exciting, as opposed to saying, I'm going to walk to my mom's house and the end point is there. You're not paying attention to anything on the way.
Oh, that's such a great point. It really is an important point. And I think you know, science is changing in that sense. I mean, traditionally, the experiments that we did were very hypothesis driven. So we would spend a lot of time deliberating on what the specific question was and what we were going to be measuring and how that measurement was ultimately going to prove or disprove a specific idea that we had. But what we're coming to now is that we have instrumentation and we have tools and techniques that generate just massive amounts of data. I mean, we can generate gigabytes of data in a matter of minutes or hours.
Wow.
So we just have these huge amounts of data, and it's so easy to generate the data that's actually easier to generate the data and mine it than to sit around and try to hypothesize what might be going on and then to test it.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
And so the way that we do this is really, I think, it's this new scientific paradigm in that we're screening in an unbiased way. So traditionally, when people, I mean, you know, metabolites, and, you know, the listener may be thinking that you know, they're aware of, you know, they go to the doctor and they get the glucose measured or they get their cholesterol measured. I mean, we've measured metabolites for a long time. It's not new. The idea of measuring the level of metabolite isn't necessarily new. I mean, we've been doing this for a very long
period
of time.
But measuring the entire spectrum
in a
snapshot and
exactly.
seeing the whole, it's like the difference between listening to the trumpet player as opposed to listening to the whole symphony player.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. It really is a great analogy. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is look at everything and then let the results in their entirety. We call it global profiling. Try to look at as many metabolites as possible.
You may want to change that name. You may have the anti-terrorist, the government's anti-terrorist department with you if you start doing global profiling.
Yeah. Well, we haven't come across that yet.
What exactly is this methyl sphingosine? Is it a protein? Is it what is it?
Well, it's a metabolite. So the technology that we're using is looking at metabolites. And I think you're asking a really good question. That is, what is a metabolite? And the way that we typically think about metabolites they're the small molecules.
Right.
If you eat
protein, it breaks down into its component amino acids, for instance. Those are metabolites of protein, correct?
Absolutely. So amino acids in themselves are metabolites.
Okay, so does the DMS fall into any of those categories that I would recognize? Is it a lipid? Is it?
Yeah, so it is a lipid. So that's a great question. And metabolites can do a couple of different things. I mean, one of the things that you're saying that metabolites can do is that they can sort of polymerize,
right,
and form bigger structures. And this when we talk about the nerves and we think about the fat that wraps around nerves, that's not a protein. It's a fatty,
right,
lipid sheath.
Right.
But it's very similar to a protein in that it's made of a bunch of constituent metabolites. So protein is a bunch of constituent amino acids, and this myelin sheath is a bunch of constituent lipids. And one of those lipids it can be converted into DMS. So we think that that's where it's coming from. So it's sort of an interesting concept in that nerves, the very way that nerves behave and the very way that nerves respond to damage is creating this condition. And that is that when nerves are, when they're injured, they try to rebuild themselves. But to rebuild themselves, the first step is to try to degrade. They have to do a degradation process where they get rid of what was already there, what was damaged. And when they do that degradation, they're breaking down this fat sheath that's wrapped around the nerve, and then, as we say, one of the constituents of that sheath can be converted into DMS.
And so basically it's a metabolic waste product of the rebuilding process.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's what's so interesting, because this is a process that happens in the periphery. As we said, you know, a lot of times when there's damage, I mean, this has been a process that's been pretty well characterized in the periphery for a long time. People have thought about this process for a long time at the site of origin, so that is, you know, in your hand or your arm or your leg, where the actual injury is. But it works quite well there, because, as you say, when you generate debris, we've got a system built in the periphery. The sort of like a trash collector that comes around very frequently and picks up all of the trash. But when you're in the central nervous system, the trash pickup is much more irregular. It turns out that it's very difficult to get rid of trash when you're in the central nervous system, in the brain and the spinal cord, because there's just a lot of barriers. The filtration system is totally different.
But I have to believe that if you do come up with a pharmaceutical mechanism that also could actually be a benefit, because if it's injected directly into the spinal column, it will remain in there. It won't be delivered systemically. Am I correct or incorrect by that?
That's absolutely correct. So the way that we envision this happening is something that would be like an epidural. So
yeah.
you would get a shot, some sort of shot into your cerebral spinal fluid. And I think what's going to be critical, and this is another insight that comes from the study, is that the treatment, it's probably going to be important for the treatment to be given prior or immediately after the nerve is damaged. So let's say you can kind of think of it like in a tetanus kind of way. So if you're out mowing your lawn and you step on a rusty nail, that you might go to the ER and get a shot just to protect yourself against what could happen. And in a similar way, you could imagine that in chronic pain that perhaps you're in a car accident or something tragic happens where you suffer some type of nerve damage, and you might go and get one of these shots to prevent the nerve that's being degraded from generating this byproduct, DMS.
Very, very cool. You guys are really doing some great work. And like I said before at the beginning of the show, the idea that you're looking at metabolites is going to require that science now look at the other side of what people are actually putting in their bodies. And that's where they're going to see, well, that's why this person doesn't have that metabolite resident, because they're not eating this certain type of food product. So this is exciting. Very, very exciting stuff. Great work you guys are doing over there.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And thanks for being on the show today, okay?
Oh, it was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Gloria Loring on. Many of you may know of her from her singing career, but she has authored a book called Living with Type 2 Diabetes, which is going to be part two of this discussion. We'll be right back.
The sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so moments ago we were discussing with Dr. Gary Patti this new breaking research on treating neuropathy, which is very, very prevalent in people who have diabetes in general. This hour we're going to be talking to Gloria Loring. Many of you may remember Gloria from her music as well as her appearances on Days of Our Lives. Welcome to the show, Gloria.
Thank you.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to have you, too.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Many of you may not know is that she has authored several books, and one specifically that we're going to be talking about today, which is Living with Type 2 Diabetes. Tell my audience, first of all, why you became involved in understanding this disease.
My son was diagnosed with juvenile type 1 diabetes, insulin dependent, when he was 4.5 years old. I knew nothing about the disease at all. And, of course, there was a big learning curve, especially that first year, and that continued on. And the thing that helped me get through certainly was people that knew a little more than I did, who could help guide me, who could help give me some good advice. And about a year after Brennan was diagnosed, I joined the cast of Days of Our Lives. And I was doing a lot of publicity as a new member of the cast in that first year. And, of course, I mentioned my son and diabetes and that I was working with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation to try to find a cure. And I began to get letters from people saying, oh, what do I do about a birthday that's coming up? And do you have a recipe for this? And my son won't take his shots. Or, I mean, people saw me as this representative of someone who might know something. And so out of that, I wrote my first book when I'd been on Days for a while, called Kids Food and Diabetes. And through the years, I've written 4 books for people with diabetes.
Now, the books don't specifically just speak to type 1 diabetes, which is a failure of the islet cells of the pancreas to produce insulin. Obviously, this information that you've gathered is even more timely now with the epidemic levels of insulin resistance in this nation, correct?
Well, what happened was my first 3 books were for parents of diabetic children because that's who I was and that's what I knew about. But through the years, as I traveled and talked to people and appeared at diabetes conferences, I had a lot of people with type 2 come up to me who really had no idea what their disease was, how they should be best handling it, and whether or not they were getting good care. So a couple of years ago, I sat down and wrote a book with Dr. Gray to address the type 2 epidemic called Living Well with Type 2 Diabetes, Moving Past the Fear. Because a lot of times there's so much fear about diabetes that people say, okay, I'll just take my medication. It's too much for me. They get overwhelmed at first about how much there is to learn.
Right.
And so I wanted to give them input and also examples. There are a lot of examples of people who turned the corner with their diabetes, who weren't paying attention, who almost lost their sight or lost their legs or had a heart attack, a minor one, but they knew they were on a road towards serious trouble, and then how they took responsibility for their health and their lives and turned it around.
And that's an important topic right there. I mean, it's something that we espouse on this show constantly is being your own advocate in the pursuit of optimal health. You cannot delegate any portion of this to anyone. Doctors are well-meaning, but doctors are like any other a human being on this planet. There are good ones, there are not so good ones, and they're also limited by the information they have at the moment. And with the with the advent of the internet, there are many, many people out there who can walk into their physician's office armed with even more information than their physician has. It's important to do this. It's important to start taking this on yourself. But unfortunately, as you point out, Gloria, that well too many people become overwhelmed or are afraid to make a decision of their own because they feel that they're not qualified to make a decision, so they delegate this to 100% to someone else.
Well, diabetes is a very difficult disease. It requires daily, almost hourly sometimes, monitoring, attention. And, you know, most of us don't want to have to be that disciplined in our lives.
Right.
So it's very, very challenging. There are a few things that people with type 2 diabetes should know. Because as you said, you know, there are doctors who are good. There are doctors who are experts. There are doctors who are just general practitioners who have been loaded up with people with diabetes because of the HMO, PPOs, whatever,
right.
You know, the system as it is right now. And you've got a guy who's a basic internist who knows, you know, some of the basic information. But there's a good story that Dr. Steve Edelman tells. He's the founder of Taking Care of Your Diabetes. And he does workshops all over the country, and he has diabetes. And he went to his doctor, and he had just eaten a bunch of donuts. He just felt like splurging. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor took his blood sugar and did whatever, and said, "You're doing fine."
Really?
And suddenly a light bulb went off in Steve's head. He said, "Wait a second. I just screwed up royally this morning by eating 3 donuts, you know, stopping at the donut shop, and he's telling me my blood sugar is fine, and that's as deep as he's going into my care. I need to now take charge of this." Because the problem is, if you're not getting good enough care, the doctor is not going to suffer the complications you are.
And also, the other thing that is occurring in that instance, and we've actually done shows on this, is the fact that a physician is prepared to treat you when your disease becomes clinically important. When if you have subclinical insulin resistance and a doctor is, you know, looking at you and going, "Well, your fasting blood sugar is 92. You know, you're pre-diabetic. I'm not going to give you pills yet." So technically to the doctor, he may say, "You're fine. You're okay." But you're not fine. There are numerous good studies now that show that periods of hyperglycemia, albeit in the 85 to 95 range, are just as damaging as full-blown diabetes. It's just like a drop of water on a rock instead of destroying the rock in a crusher. It's still wearing down the system. So it's very, very important that when your doctor says to you, "You're fine," that you must ask the doctor, "What were my numbers?"
Okay, yes. What are your numbers? But I would just, I don't mean to challenge you.
No, please do.
But an 80 to a 90 blood sugar is a perfect blood sugar. An 80 to 120 is the normal blood sugar range. Now, once you're up in the 130, 140, that's when the drip of water. But I have seen, I mean, I know a friend of mine has had type 1 diabetes for 47 years. She has no complications. She keeps her, now sometimes she runs high, sometimes she runs a 250.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes she runs a 60, you know, below the normal,
right.
Way above the normal. The thing that you need to know, much more than your blood sugar of the moment, although that's important too,
A1C.
Is you need to know what your hemoglobin
right.
A1C is. The hemoglobin A1C is a brilliant test that was designed to measure the overall accumulation of extra sugars clinging to the proteins in your blood over a 90-day period. This is why it's important for you to get an A1C. Just call it an A1C. And if you have diabetes, get an A1C every 90 days. If you do nothing but that, you will know where your overall blood sugar is.
And if you
want to be below 7.0.
Right.
They did a 10-year study called the DCT, diabetes, anyway, a care and treat, whatever. I've forgotten. It was a while ago. The study was so definitive that they stopped the study the 10-year study a year and a half early, because everybody who kept their blood sugars below 7, and especially below 6.5, had 80% fewer complications.
Wow, that's exciting.
So that's the number. Now, so the first thing you want is every 90 days you want an A1C.
I
don't care if you have type 7 diabetes.
I want
an A1C.
Yes, not only do you want an A1C, but if you go to your CVS or Walgreens, you can now buy an in-home A1C test. I have one.
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
I started checking my blood sugar 10 years ago because I feel like, you know, I check the oil in my car, but I don't check my blood sugar. I'm only going to start checking it once I develop a disease. So I started checking blood sugar years and years ago because I like to see what it is. And I also found out when I was going to buy the replacement strips for my glucometer, I saw this A1C test, and I walked up to the guy, and I says, "Is this thing work?" He goes, "Oh yeah, it works precisely." Now, it's not cheap. It's about $85. It comes with two test tabs in it, and the test tabs are expensive. It's about, I think it's about $113 for six. But you're doing it every 90 days, so who cares? It's not like it's going to break the bank. But you can now test your A1C at home.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, and certainly for someone who's very knowledgeable and reliable, you know, that's a good thing. I wouldn't let that preclude you seeing a doctor also. If you have a diabetes specialist, but it's certainly better than nothing.
Yes.
So here are the two things that a person with type 2 should be doing. Certainly you should, well, the four things. The first thing is, how are you eating? Are you moving? If you don't move the body, if you don't feed it well, it's not going to do well. Okay? Are you managing stress? Are you doing something to relax? Recreation, recreating yourself. Exercise is very refreshing. Time spent with music, beauty, in nature, with people you love, having fun, laughing, you know, all of those things are so beneficial to the human, thinking good thoughts. We know that people who have a positive outlook on life live longer and are healthier. So all of those things. Now, technically, you want to be doing an A1C every 90 days, and even if you have type 2 diabetes, you want to be spot checking your blood sugar on hopefully a daily basis. Maybe before breakfast a few days in a row, maybe before lunch a few days in a row, maybe before dinner. Kind of see where you are, because you don't want to wait 90 days to go, wow, you know, 3 days in a row before dinner I'm running a 240.
Right.
You know, you want to have an idea, is my medication covering, if I'm injected insulin, which sometimes people with type 2 diabetes cross over the barrier from pills and they have to inject insulin. Are my medicines taking care of this? And the way to do it is spot checking once or twice a day with your blood sugar and then the A1C. So those are really important. But just using common sense.
Yes.
If you're sitting around smoking and drinking four beers and, you know, not exercising and being a couch potato, I'm sorry, you're going to have problems. The body was not meant to work that way, and eventually you will be in big trouble. And maybe along the way, well, I want to enjoy my life. Okay, but I got news for you. I saw my mother's second husband, who smoked for 30 years, got lung cancer and brain cancer. He smoked 3 packs a day for 30 years. And when he finally got it, he said to me, "I can't believe I was so stupid."
Yeah.
I thought I would be the one who would escape. And he suffered. It was only 7 weeks, which was pretty quick. I've never seen a human being suffer so badly in my life. He was in such misery. They gave him radiation. They gave him all this. He couldn't lie in a bed. His skin was burning. I mean, it's like hell.
Yes.
You know, whatever's beyond this earth,
you know what?
I don't care what you've done. It's got to be a whole lot easier than going through some of the things.
Yes.
I've seen people with cancer and brain cancer, lung cancer, etc., go through.
There's a mechanism in the human condition that allows us to believe, and it's actually an important mechanism. It's an important mechanism that allows us to drive on a two-lane road and trust that the other person is not going to just come across the line and hit us. There's a mechanism in the human condition that allows us to believe that it's just not going to happen to me. And unfortunately, when people take that a little too far into risky behaviors like cigarette smoking and indulging in certain foods, which I want to talk about when we come back out of the break, unfortunately, eventually they find out that it's going to happen to them. We're talking with Gloria Loring. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back to talk more about living with diabetes. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5.
Now when you visit,
choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. By one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Gloria Loring. A study that I had sent to me that I have in my hands before it's actually being published in the Journal of Andrology is finally linking insulin resistance and male infertility. They're showing that the changes in the body as a result of insulin resistance and diabetes, even in individuals that are classified as pre-diabetic, change sperm motility, sperm health to a degree where it makes men infertile. And infertility in this country is on the rise. And it's not just this. I mean, we're being bombarded with toxins and xenoestrogens and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a problem. But clearly, type 2 diabetic style lifestyle, I should say, is on the rise here. Let's talk about the foods for a second. I have a friend who came on my show one time, and we were talking about this type of stuff. And he's a researcher, and he coined a term that I keep using now, and that is some people are carbohydrate intolerant, just the way some people are lactose intolerant. Some people are carbohydrate intolerant. What would you say about that?
I think probably some people are very sensitive to certain kinds of carbohydrates. You know, we each have our own metabolism, and we can change that. I, for one, have been eating whole grains since my early 20s, a long time now. And I got into it and started, you know, whole wheat flour and oats and all of that. And there was never Wonder Bread in my house. Pardon me for the.
That's okay.
I don't mean to do a slam, but there was no bleached flour in my house. There was no Bisquick mix. Everything was whole grains from the health food store. And, of course, back then we were labeled health food nuts.
Yeah, right.
And one of the things that was talked about back then, we're talking about 40 years ago, was trans fats. And they said, do not eat trans fat. The health food fads, you know, addicts, were told don't eat trans fats because they have changed a molecule in order to make it stable at room temperature that now changes the food so much that the body does not metabolize it. And at that time I thought, you know what, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. So I purposely avoided things that had trans hydrogenated fats in them. It took 35 years for that information to reach the general public.
Oh, no, it took even longer than that. Dr. Paul Dudley White, who was one of the key founders of the American Heart Association, I think he was also a President Roosevelt's physician, personal physician, in the 1930s wrote a position paper, and he said that in all his years in school, in residency, in private practice, he had only encountered one myocardial infarction. But by the mid-30s, he said that the rate of myocardial infarction was on a dramatic increase and that people needed to stop ignoring it. He blamed three things. The introduction of Crisco, I believe in 1909, which was the first hydrogenated oil to replace lard.
Ah, okay.
And he said the overconsumption of sugar. And in his day, if he saw the sugar that people eat today, his head would explode. But no one paid attention to him. All the lives that could have been saved if someone would have paid attention to the man who founded the American Heart Association.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's tough. There was an interesting radio interview I heard recently about the change. It used to be that going to a restaurant was a very occasional thing, and restaurants were very upscale. And then after World War II and into the 50s and all, there was a change, and the restaurants became more so-called family-friendly. So they served more and more kid foods.
Right.
Until now, you know, you go to restaurants and it's all macaroni and cheese and French fries. I mean, you know, the middle of the road family restaurants. And so we're eating this food that a child with their incredibly fast, efficient metabolism can utilize. They can have some sugars and they're moving all the time. I have a 3.5-year-old grandson and my God, he never stops moving. You know, so they use this up, but suddenly now, you know, we're in our 30s or 40s or 50s and we're still eating like we were 3.5 years old. And you have the South with the agricultural based section of the country, very agri, and the Midwest,
right,
and where they used to be on the farms and work 10 hours laboring in the fields, and they could eat 8,000 calories a day, and the, you know, the lard and the fat and the you know, the stuff fried in bacon grease, and because they worked it off. When you're working really hard, you can eat more of those foods because you're using them up, you're utilizing them. When you're not doing even 30 minutes of exercise a day, the body doesn't know what to do with all of that. I mean, when it comes to food, which was your original question,
right,
here, we got off on all this other stuff, which is good. I love Michael Pollan, who's, you know, the food guru out there, and he says, eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his rules for eating.
Right.
Mostly, what I would say is mostly natural. as natural as you can get it. In my home, I don't use hardly any sugar, except if I'm occasionally baking, which I do.
Yeah, the holidays or something like that.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right,
you make some sugar cookies for Christmas or something. But I use agave. Agave is a low glycemic agave syrup. It's natural. It's low glycemic, which means it doesn't raise your blood sugar as quickly as sucrose does. Most people don't know that white potatoes raise your blood sugar at a rate and a height the same as table sugar. You know, so when you're having those French fries, they're sending your blood sugar through the roof. Whereas if you have things that have more fiber in them, even a sweet potato versus a white potato. There's so many little tricks like that. The biggest trick, I think, is, of course, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. But eat the most colorful foods you can find. If your plate is filled with white and brown food, you're probably not eating very well from a nutrition standpoint.
Well,
you should have green, you should have orange,
yes,
you should have red. You know, think in terms of colorful, because the more color, basically, usually, the more nutrition.
There's also a lot of emerging evidence now that beef is not the enemy, but it's the CAFO-produced, grain-fed, corn-fed beef that actually has a higher preponderance of omega-6 fatty acids, which are pro-inflammatory. Paul Bragg and those guys back in California years and years ago used to talk about this. Jack LaLanne was a huge proponent of grass-fed beef way before it became vogue. But we're understanding now that beef isn't the problem. Our ancestors, if you go back 100 years, you see that we did not have virtually any of the chronic disease. In fact, type 2 diabetes was not even in existence until 1924. The first cases of type 2 diabetes showed up, and doctors were perplexed. They didn't know what it was. But if you look at animal protein by and large, the quality of animal protein that is available to us in the average grocery store has changed. And the protein that our great-grandparents were eating, who easily lived into the eighth and ninth decade of life without developing any of these chronic diseases, and most of the time were quite robust. They were probably taking care of their grandbabies at the same time. They were eating grass-fed beef. Cows are genetically designed to eat grass. And they can't eat corn. They can't eat. That's why you have to give them antibiotics to keep them alive. Chickens are not supposed to be vegetarians, folks. Chickens eat worms. Worms are not made out of plants, okay? Chickens are supposed to run around, peck, eat some stones to help digestion, eat worms and eat other things. That's what chickens do. And pigs surely aren't supposed to be eat the garbage that they collect behind the hotels in Las Vegas, which that's what the pig farmer out in Nevada feeds his pigs. So the problem with animal protein right now is you have a responsibility. If you want to add animal protein to your diet, you must seek out animals that have lived a natural life and fed a natural diet. Otherwise, that protein will hurt you.
I see you are quite a crusader.
Yes, I am. I am, actually.
Well, here's what I would say, to be practical. If you're going to do that, the grain-fed beefs, the naturally raised organic chickens, you know, free-range, et cetera, et cetera. I buy free-range eggs. You know, I don't want my food habits, as much as I can, I don't want them to contribute to suffering for anybody.
Okay, that's different.
You know,
okay.
So that's another way to look at it also.
Yes, yes.
Yes, the proteins are probably cleaner, more natural, and because they're more expensive, we will probably be inclined to use the meat and chicken and whatever more as a condiment instead of the main source of the meal, because we don't need to overload our system with animal proteins. Study after study has shown that people who eat a more plant-based, natural fiber-based diet with lower amounts of chicken, fish, pork, whatever, tend to be healthier. Vegetarian-type diets and use meat as a condiment. Something I do at home is I will make a stir-fry. And I'll have lots of fabulous vegetables with some ginger and some garlic and, you know, a little hoisin sauce. And then I put whatever, if it's a little chicken or a little shredded beef or something, that becomes the condiment, the flavoring. But I've got all these, you know, pea pods and celery and cabbage and whatever, you know, Asian cabbage. And so now we get in with some nice, you know, whole grain rice, brown basmati rice or something. And you look at the way people used to eat, and they ate because you have to feed the grains that you could be eating to the cows. So now you talk about, you know, the methane and the carbon dioxide and everything that it takes, how many tonnage of grain it takes to feed a certain number of cows for us to eat.
Right.
So again, I would go back to eat food, mostly plants, not too much.
Right.
With the meats and as natural as we can get them,
yes,
and as we can afford. And because it's expensive, I mean, you go for some of the grain-fed beef and it's $20 a pound or whatever it is. And you go, wow, well, I'm not going to buy three big steaks. Why don't I buy, you know, 3/4 of a pound and do a nice big stir fry with lots of great flavors? I think people are seeking flavor. And there's so many ways to add flavor to our food that are really healthy. I mean, the Asian cultures have been on to something for a long time with the uses of ginger, which prompts appetite.
You know, also, do you know you can cure cancer with ginger? And I'm not just saying that like, you know, some, you know, metaphysical, star flake, snow dust. I mean, there is such great research showing that 6 and 8 gingerol is so chemo preventive. It actually,
yes,
can shrink tumors and, keep in mind, you're going to hear in the next 4 or 5 years that a gingerol drug is going to be introduced into the cancer treatment world, because there's already a pharmaceutical company in Canada called Dalton who is synthesizing 6 and 8 gingerol, because let's face it, you're not going to be able to charge somebody $10,000 for cancer treatment if you're giving them ginger. You're going to have to...
But that speaks to what we're coming back to. We're coming back to, and your program seems to be, from what I've heard so far, about taking personal responsibility.
Yes.
So when we include things like cumin, coriander, which are cooling, good for digestion, ginger, which is good for digestion, it's garlic, an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory.
I love garlic.
Turmeric, which has been shown to have wonderful anti-cancer properties. These spices and herbs that have been used for millennium in the Asian worlds and around the world, if you look at the places where people are living, you know, maybe not as wealthy, they're not as wealthy as we are, but they're, some ways they're healthier, you know, once they get past certain inoculation kind of diseases and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And if they have enough food, if they're not in the middle of a drought. But because they're eating mostly plant-based diets with wonderful herbs and spices that have been passed. See, I do know a little bit about this area because I have used Ayurvedic medicine for over 20 years.
Oh, yes.
And so I know about, I've taken Ayurvedic herbs and I've had, I had terrible allergies. I had arthritic spurs in my fingers over 20 years ago, and within 1 month, they were gone. What did I do? I changed my diet. I got certain inflammatory foods out of my diet
right, for
me, which was citrus. Citrus is too acidic for me. I tend to run acidic. I tend to, you know, that's my particular body type.
Yeah, your polymorphism.
I'm pitta. It's called pitta. Pitta means a heating. I'm a passionate person. I throw myself into things. So that passion, that heat, doesn't need more heat to pour it on top of it. Citrus foods, not lemon, but grapefruit, orange. I was eating those things every day, and I had arthritic spurs in my fingers.
How
as soon as
like
I
that?
Stopped, they were gone, along with the right herbs that balanced with that. So I know the wisdom that is inherent in what we call, you know, we call what, indigenous medicine. But, I mean, it's so funny because somebody recently said, oh, is your sister using traditional medicine or is she going alternative? And I said, no, traditional medicine is Ayurveda and the Chinese system.
Yes,
that's traditional.
That was the first.
Right. That was the first. That's
right.
Traditional, you know.
That's right. That's why they call it traditional Chinese medicine. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about type 2 diabetes. You can get a copy of Living with Type 2 Diabetes at Amazon.com. It's a great read. Pick it up for yourself. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. To
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You can pick up a copy of Living with Type 2 Diabetes at Amazon.com. We're talking to Gloria Loring, author of the book. Gloria, I have to ask you this question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I've spoken about this so much now, and my audience knows my opinion. Recently, Paula Deen came out and kind of embraced her diabetes. And let me say this first of all. I'm not saying everybody wants to reverse their type 2 diabetes, but for those people who truly want to reverse this condition, it is a condition, not a disease. Unlike what your son had, that's a different issue. When the pancreas is not functioning and the body is not producing insulin, this is totally different than when the body is overproducing insulin as a result of dietary intake and lifestyle, and the receptors on the cells become overwhelmed and become resistant to insulin. This is something totally different. This is an acquired condition, and in 95% of people whose pancreases are still functioning properly, it is completely reversible in 6 months to a year. Now, naturally, not everybody wants to do that. Some people don't even want to quit smoking, as you pointed out before. But
Do you have any opinion at all about how Paula Deen has come out and embraced her diabetes and said, you know, I want it, because you said before about enjoying life. She said, I want to keep enjoying life, and I'm just going to keep enjoying life, and I'm just going to take my medication.
Yeah, you know, I mean, each of us has our own journey, and we get to decide how we want to live our lives. And a number of people called me and said, you need to come out and talk about Paula Deen. And I went, ugh, it's none of my business. You know, what? Evidently she had it for 3 years, and she keeps cooking, you know, with the stick of butter and the sugar.
Wait, she uses donuts instead of hamburger buns on hamburgers. I predicted this. A listener of the show emailed me and said, I just listened to this show from 2010 to make sure that I was correct. I interviewed a guy named Dave Rule, who is a fantastic chef, and he uses Paleolithic style recipes. And during the show, I said, you know, Dave, why can't you get a show on the Food Network? Instead, they've got Paula Deen out there espousing these types of meals. She's giving people diabetes. And I said, in fact, I'm willing to bet that she's already got it and she's on meds treating her diabetes. I said it in 2010 on the air.
You know, if there's anything I've learned, everybody has to have their own journey and do it the way they want to. And is that a good example for others? No, it's not. But I guess everybody, you know, but then at the same time, there's the biggest loser with people determined that they want to live and they want to see their children grow up and that they or grandchildren or whatever. You know, so we have lots of examples. And we have good examples, and we have not unfortunate examples of how to take care of our body. And we're going to make our own decision. You know, there are the people who say, I just want to burn white and hot and burn out fast. I don't care if I burn out fast. I just want to be laughing the whole way and eating everything I want. And, you know, so if they die of a heart attack at 52, okay. That, you know what, that was their choice. I mean, what those of us who understand the importance of good health. I mean, I saw my mother when she was in her early 60s. I looked at my mother and I thought, oh my God, she's got high blood pressure. She's on Valium for stress. They think she already had a little minor heart attack. She's got advanced osteoporosis. She's got, you know, osteoporosis. I said, if I don't do something very different, I will follow in this path. And I had already been pretty good about food and all, and I decided to be even better. And I started going to yoga class, and I actually became a certified yoga instructor. You know, I started doing even more things. And then shortly after that, I found Ayurvedic medicine and started cleaning up my diet in a way that was specifically right for my body. And it's not that I do everything perfect. I've got a glass of wine now and then. I have a piece of cake now and then.
Yeah,
you know, I have a steak
right.
5-6 times a year,
right.
You know, but the minute I get off base and I feel myself or see my body reacting in certain ways, I go, I know how to clean this up. I can clean this up in 2 days. You know, I can go on a cruise and for a while eat what I want, and then I go, okay, I'm not feeling my best.
Right.
You know? But I have something to compare it to. When you eat high sugar, high fat, high salt foods all the time, your taste becomes jaded. It's like feeding a child high salt foods all the time. They're going to think that's the way they're supposed to eat, that anything less than that to them is not going to be tasty. And yet there's so many ways to have tasty food. So it's a matter of habit. It's like deciding that you want to go to, that, oh, no, I have to stay up till 1 o'clock. No, you know, if you suddenly got a fabulous job that you absolutely loved that meant you had to be out the door at 7:30 in the morning, eventually your body would get in the habit of going to bed by 10:30.
Yes.
Because you'd be so tired, you'd start going to sleep. It's a matter of habit. And, I mean, I just decided that I didn't want to turn out to be like my mother. And sure enough, my mother said, well, you know, it takes too much time to exercise. My mother spent the last 7 years of her 77 years completely disabled, using a walker, in a wheelchair eventually, in a little group home, in a convalescent hospital, not able to properly care for herself. 7 years of it. Not 3 months, 7 years. I mean, we're all going to get sick and die.
Right.
We might get sick and die in 1 minute. We might get sick and die in 1 year. We might get sick and die in 10 years. I'd like it to be 1 minute. I'd like it to be,
yes,
I'm here and I'm gone.
Yes.
I want to be the healthiest person I know the day before I leave. Because this whole thing about, well, I want to enjoy my life. It's like the only way to enjoy your life is eating a stick of butter
every
day.
Yeah, it's to destroy your body, to do reckless things. That's the only way to enjoy your life.
And the thing that's also fascinating to me is so many of these people follow a particular faith tradition where they are told their body is the temple of God. Is that the way you're going to treat your Lord?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Is that the temple you're going to provide for your Lord with clogged arteries and high blood pressure and diabetes and heart disease? Heart disease. Think of what that means. That means your heart is not at ease in your own body.
Right.
Your heart is being assaulted, attacked, possibly by the way you think, the things that you feel, the stuff that you haven't cleaned up in your life on an emotional, psychological, spiritual level, the foods that you're, the crap foods you're putting in your body. Is that the way you would treat your Lord?
Yeah.
You know,
I
mean, that's another way to approach this for people who follow a particular faith tradition.
Yes. And
is
you know,
that's the way you would treat your Lord.
And the other thing that I say to people is if you can't, especially, you know, for people who have young children, if you can't do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Because you're setting up the example. You know, I was watching one of the morning shows the other day doing my cardio, my first bout of cardio in the morning. And I was watching and they were talking about George Stephanopoulos was interviewing a young lady who just gave birth to like a, I don't remember, a 17-pound baby. And she did it naturally, no anesthesia, and she did it vaginally. I know. I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, the fact that, and I know that a lot of people are probably going to say, oh, that was really not nice of you, Carl, but she, this poor girl was so overweight. We've had Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanek, who wrote The Perfect Body Diet for Women's Magazine, on the show. And she is a big proponent of only gaining a certain amount of weight during your pregnancy. You don't have to become reckless during your pregnancy because what ends up happening is this. Your baby develops in a pre-diabetic environment. It develops in that environment. When these babies come out that overweight, they are already they're already in the zone for metabolic disorder. And we know this. There's research that shows this. And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, why are we embracing this notion that this is reckless? If you can't do it for yourself, do it for your child. And if you're pregnant, please don't take that as license to go out and eat everything because you're pregnant, because that baby is in that environment now. Never mind the unnatural additives and artificial ingredients and sweeteners in the food, but just the caloric content and the glucose load, that baby is growing up in a pre-diabetic environment. And we know there was just a research study, I think it was from the Scripps Research Institute, about 4 or 5 months ago, that shows that there are markers in that baby that provide a clear evidence that later on in life, they are going to have a higher probability of developing metabolic disorder.
Yeah, I know. Well, if we could get this information to the young women. I think, you know, going back to what's the basic thing. I mean, there's some things I also do. I mean, I know that there are certain foods that don't agree with me. I shake my head in disbelief when I see all these ads for antacids and people eating foods that they're saying, you know, go ahead and eat what you want, just take this pill. Excuse me, if your body is going, oh my God, we're burning, we're burping, the body is telling you, this food doesn't agree with me. And you're still stuffing it down, and now you're taking things to try to quell the body's way of handling this food that doesn't agree with you. But just take your pills. It, you know,
frustrates,
you're gonna wear the body out. There are a number of things I stay away mostly from the foods that I don't eat anything with red chilies in it, because red chilies are too spicy, too hot for me. And if you're getting heartburn after you eat, you know, red chili stuff, hello, do you want to wake up
them.
And stop, don't just take the stuff, stop eating them.
Yeah, right.
Oh, but I like them. Oh, I'm so sorry. My mother used to do that. She's in the hospital with congestive heart failure. And my middle sister, who's also a little out there, is sneaking in double frappuccinos with double shots of espresso and sugar and cream in them. And she's drinking, and the doctor comes in and finds one in my mother's hand. He said, "What, Dorothy, what are you drinking?" And I had said to her, "Mother, do you not realize this is caffeine? This is making your heart race. The sugar is sending your blood sugar up. You are stressing your body." She said, "But I like them."
I know. And see, and you know what the sad part is?
It's like, okay.
At that point, a lot of people who are enablers will say, "Oh my God, you know, the poor thing, it's all, give her something. She needs something to enjoy.
It makes her happy."
Yeah, it makes her happy. You know,
does it make her happy to have congestive heart failure and to be, you know, but it's this thing I said also before. It's like, you know what? Everybody's got their journey. If anything, I mean, here's my mother who you think I could have get some sense with, you know, somehow get her attention. I couldn't. She was on her own journey. She had her own beliefs. She came from a time when you didn't pay attention to anything you ate. You just ate what you wanted. You didn't exercise. She didn't want to, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? There are a number of things. So eat food, not too much, mostly plants. Use your animal proteins, best quality you can afford, range-free eggs. If you can, grain-fed, you know, range-free chickens, grain-fed beef, whatever.
Grass-fed beef.
Grass-fed, I'm
there
sorry. Well, range grass. I mean, you know, out on the prairie, whatever.
Range, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Use your sense about to eat as natural. Your body is still a natural instrument. We evolve very slowly. We have certain kinds of teeth and certain kinds of digestive system because that's what we're created for. Some other things I do, you know, don't eat artificial foods, don't eat artificial fats, don't eat fats and foods that have been created in a laboratory.
Right.
Stay away from them. You know, if you want a low glycemic sweetener, use a little agave syrup or a little stevia.
Stevia is great.
Agave is great. Those more natural.
There's research out there that shows that stevia can actually reset the islet cells of the pancreas and help them to start producing insulin at healthy levels again. Stevia is really a great and I know it's difficult to cook with, you know. I mean, it really
is. Yeah, but agave is nice to cook with.
Yes, yes.
Agave cooks well, and it's low glycemic even though it's a sweetener. The other thing I would say to people, I mean, if they're actually on a path of, you know, I'm really going to take good care of myself, don't microwave your foods or water. Don't heat things in the microwave. I attended a science and consciousness convention and heard a biophysicist give a talk about the state of the earth and foods and all of this, and someone asked her, "What about microwaves?" She said, "If you were to deeply research microwave and the way it changes the molecular structure of food, which then influences for a period of time the molecular structure of your blood is your life. And if you're going to eat foods that have the molecular structure changed, I think perhaps 30 years from now, we will find out that microwave food kind of goes into the category of the molecular changes that are part of the trans fats. Again, we get warnings, those of us who are hyper alert or attentive to how to take good care of ourselves. We get these warnings in advance. So I would say, in case people haven't heard about this, don't eat microwaves.
Oh,
don't heat your water in the microwave.
Two years ago, we did a show that is still in the top 10 downloaded shows on the Superhuman Radio website called "Your Microwave Oven Is Killing You." We had a physicist on the show who's done nothing but research into this area, and the discussion started out where microwave even the German army during World War II. They started out, they invented the microwave oven to feed the mass army, and they abandoned it because it removed all the nutrition from the food and the soldiers were getting sick, so they abandoned it. And then there was even instances where blood was warmed in a microwave in a hospital,
yes,
and it killed the people that it was infused into. There's so much evidence, and so we did this show, and one of the things that we suggested on the show was get rid of your microwave. But make sure you cut the cord off of it, or someone will pick it up and bring it to DAV or St. Vincent de Paul, and somebody else will buy it. Take a microwave out of circulation, throw it out, but cut the cord off so somebody can't use it again.
Well, what I do, I warm up my heat, my plates and my cups in the microwave, and that's the only thing I use them for.
Okay.
It's still there, and I use it as a plate warmer and a cup warmer before I put the coffee in the cup.
Interesting.
I heat it up in the microwave, but not the coffee.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, it takes almost as much time. It takes slightly more time
to boil water.
To throw your coffee in a little pan on the stove.
Yes.
Turn it up to high and heat your coffee. Reheat your tea. Reheat your coffee. Reheat your soup from last night on the stove. You know, on the hottest burner on a pan. Stir it quickly. It only takes 2 minutes to heat it on the stove. And you've got naturally heated foods that the molecular structure has not been changed.
There you go. Gloria, I want to thank you for making time to come on the show today. I really, really appreciate it. And I want to remind everybody to go to Amazon.com and pick up Living with Type 2 Diabetes by Gloria Loring. Thank you so much. Have a great day, Gloria.
And also GloriaLoring.com.
Yes.
Come and visit me on my website.
Yes, we'll put a link up. We'll put a link up on the Supreme Radio website to get people there, okay?
Bless your heart and all the good work you're doing.
Take
care.
Thank you. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, I want to talk about tomorrow's show. I've got some interesting stuff to talk about. We'll be right back.
I have never endorsed a training guide before. The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexFin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Dan Pardee. This is a really Pardee, P-A-R-D-I, not P-A-R-T-Y. It's a really important show. You know, we've done a lot of shows on sleep. There's lots of emerging information about how we actually accumulate the biological
let's say, for lack of better terms, materials that make us sleep at night, we accumulate them throughout the day during the photo period and also activities and so on and so forth. And Dan Pardee has had a lot of time to research this. And he's coming on the show tomorrow to talk about polyphasic sleep and sleep promoters as a result of activity and the photo period. It's going to be a really important show for those of you who still find getting a really, really perfect night's sleep like you did when you were a kid is still very, very elusive. So don't forget to tune in for that. I want to thank everybody. Thanks to Dr. Gary Patty from Washington University in St. Louis for coming on and talking about managing chronic neurological pain, neuropathic pain. Very interesting research, very important given the current condition of this country and the prevalence of diabetes. Also, for Gloria Loring for coming on and talking about diabetes, living with type 2 diabetes. Her book is Living with Type 2 Diabetes at Amazon.com, and visit her at GloriaLoring.com. Appreciate her taking the time to be on the show. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.